The Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was laying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for that reading. So my name's Andy. I'm a member of the congregation here. And I've just returned from a holiday, fantastic holiday actually, with our family, which involved a trip into Seattle in the US on a train, on a really kind of old-fashioned, old-style train. And we arrived in Seattle into this kind of huge marble station, beautiful marble station, and our luggage, I've got four children, so we had quite a lot of luggage, came off the train separate from us, which seemed a tremendous novelty to not pull your own luggage off a train. And we picked it up from one of those carousels inside this grand central station that really did look like a scene from the Madagascar film where all the animals are there. So we got our luggage, we're standing there, and I was quite surprised that at that point, my family said, "I think we can walk to the place where we're staying." And I had looked online, just as we were approaching the station, where we were staying, and seen that it was 1.7 miles. And we had a lot of luggage. I'd said it was 1.7 miles to everybody, and at Seattle in August is pretty hot, but they were up for it, and I thought that's good, and six in a taxi is really pretty difficult. So off we set. I had my phone out. At this point, we discovered, a couple of the suitcases no longer had wheels, so it was a bit more of a kind of dragging, you actually take more interest in your luggage once you're setting off on a journey. And I could see on the map, we kind of headed out, and then we had to turn right. And so I headed out, and as I was looking up to the right, it was hilly. It would be fair to say it was really hilly for the right turn. I just wasn't saying anything to anybody about the fact that actually we're going to go up that hill pretty soon. The hill didn't get any less. We turned into a narrow line as well of people, as I kind of hit the front because I thought there's going to be some moaning coming, so, I don't want to be too near once that starts. So I'll just lead from the front, set the pace. If you can't keep up, then, well, Seattle's a great city. I'm sure you'll really enjoy it. So we then turn up, start going up the hill. And spirits were pretty good. They were dragging the cases, and it did seem 1.7 miles is a long time I was sweating quite profusely by the time I got there. And then we reached the front of the house. What I hadn't said at that point was that for some reason the place we were staying didn't have a lock key on it, but actually we had to walk another half mile to go and get the key from somewhere else. So we arrived there, and right at the front of the place where we were staying, there's a guy on a sofa, very, very high and not very, very well dressed. You know, and really not very with it. And the approach to the steps is there's loads of fleas and stuff. Just, you know, so at that point I said, well, I tell you what, you guys wait here, and I'm going to go and get this key. So I set off for the key at great pace, not allowing too much. And I could see everybody looking around going, you know, it doesn't look like a great area. And then, you know, I set off to get the key. And as I was setting off to get the key through the red light district, at one point I heard my daughter coming up behind me saying, "Dad, Dad, 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 one of the suitcases isn't ours." Now, at this point, I was thinking, who has dragged a suitcase that isn't ours 1.7 miles? And it's not even our suitcase. So, you know, that was going through my mind. So, but I went on, got the key, came back, and looked at, and actually, I have to say, the suitcase was, you know, it looked quite similar, especially when actually on top of the suitcase was another huge bag that meant you couldn't really see the suitcase. It was kind of underneath a big grip. So I took the grip off the top of that suitcase and looked at the suitcase itself. And across the front of the suitcase, in Tippex, was Hamilton Cheng written on the suitcase. And at that point, I was thinking, who picked that suitcase up from the airport, from the railway station, from that carousel? And who was it? I did. And at that point, my wife said to me, "Andy, please make sure you pick up the right suitcases." And I thought, did you really say that to me at the point where we, did you really say to me, pick up the right suitcases when we're in? And then I thought, you know what she did? And I just thought it was so obvious, what sort of idiot wouldn't pick up their own suitcases and pick up somebody else's suitcase? I just plain, it was went in one ear and it went out the other ear. And today we're doing the listening part, the listening L, in a series called Bless. So we're going to be talking about listening today. And I want to start by just asking you, many people here may laugh at me doing a talk on listening. But I want to start by asking you, quite seriously, do you think you're a good listener? Do you think you're a good listener? Because a few stats on listening, it's reckoned we spend 75% of our time communicating in some way, and half of that is listening. So a third of your life is spent listening. So do you think you're a good listener? Most of the evidence suggests that we take in about 25% to 50% of what we actually hear. Now, that's in terms of our relationships with other people. I think, though, there's also an implication for if you're a good listener about, can you listen to God? Can you hear God speak? Does God speak? And can you hear him? How do you hear him? Can you get better at hearing him? When was the last time you heard God speak? You felt like, you know what, I think God is saying something to me. When was the last time that happened? So listening is a crucial skill in life, and it is a crucial skill in our relationship with the Lord. Now, if we could just bring up the next slide, actually. I think I'm going to look at three passages to look at this today. So I'll go to those. So if we go to the next slide. Actually, I've got a clicker. I could be doing this myself. Let's see if it works. So I want to start with the marriage course. Actually just has a great tool in it called the five profiles of the poor listener. So I want to see if any of you identify with any of these profiles, okay? So number one is the, and as you listen to this, there's a great tendency, I know when I do, I'll be thinking about other people who fit that profile. So yeah, I know some interrupters, and let me name them. Okay, and just looking around. There's an interrupter. But just be thinking about which one you might be. So number one, the interrupter. So Stephen Covey says most people listen with the intention of responding rather than with the intention of understanding. Most people listen with the intention of replying what they're going to say rather than really listening and trying to understand what that person is saying. And the average person listens before interrupting for 17 seconds, which says you better be pretty concise when you're talking. So number one is the interrupter, somebody who's thinking about what am I going to say next. Number two is the advice giver. This is the person who, when they're listening, they're thinking, how can I fix this situation? I've got a solution for what you're talking about. You've had a bad day at the office. I'll tell you what you should do. You need to go talk to that person and sort it out. Number three, the reassurer. However bad what you're saying is, and however much you may feel that what you're describing is out of control, the reassurer comes back and says to you, don't worry, it'll be all right. Don't worry, it'll all work out in the end. They just want, it's more about them feeling, you know, they don't worry, things will be okay, than it is about really listening to what you're saying. Number four is the rationalizer. They'll explain your situation. So the reason you had a bad day was the weather was bad, you didn't have a quiet time in the morning, and yada, yada, yada. Number five, the last is the deflector. So this person, when you're telling them something, they go off at a tangent. You had a bad day at the office? I had a bad day at the office. And, you know, I think it all began when I rode in. And, you know, I've bought a new bike recently, and I really love bikes. And I tell you what's the best thing about bikes is, and you're off for a complete tangent talking about something completely different. So those are the five profiles. So I don't think about which one of those you might identify with. And then the final reason why I think we sometimes, why I'd ask you are a good listener, is there's something about actually how our brains work, that apparently we can say 125 words a minute, but inside our brains can fire 200 neurons every second. So, you know, every second our brains are churning over with stuff and we just can't get that out quick enough. So there's quite a lot out there that suggests, you know, we might not be great at listening, but we spend a third of our time doing it. And can you practice it or improve the way you do it? And I want to look at three ways to listen, and I want to think about how you apply them to your relationships with other people and how you apply them to your relationship with God each time. And I want to ask you now to think about how are you going to respond. Okay, because that's part of listening. I want to ask you now to think about, as we go through this, what am I going to pray for at the end? What am I going to try and do differently? Am I going to go and talk to somebody and get some prayer about that? So be thinking about how you're going to respond. So the three ways to listen are, first of all, listening to the head. So listen to the head. The second is listen to the heart. And the third is listen to the feet. Okay, so whenever you're listening in a situation, listen to the head, what's being said, listen to the heart, the feelings that are being expressed, and finally listen to the feet, the energy and the will of what's actually going on, the effort people are willing to put in to make something happen. So first of all, let's listen to the head. This is the bit I think we're all best at, listening to thoughts, facts, arguments, ideas. You know, we're quite well trained at doing this. In terms, though, of how we might do this in terms of our relationship with the Lord, and does God speak today, in asking you, each of you, that, I found it incredibly helpful in terms of what's God directing me to do, to use something called the five CSs. for the way God speaks. I don't know how many of you have come across that, but five CSs for any big decision, God speaks to us, in my experience, predominantly through five ways. And the first one is commanding scripture. So the first way God speaks to you, and in terms of thoughts and ideas and words, is through the Bible. So if you want to hear God, read your Bible, make it a daily habit, and reflect on it and let God speak to you through that one. The second one is the Council of Saints. God will speak to you through the church, maybe now, but actually more likely one-to-one through other Christians. You know, sometimes they might not be Christians, just through friends. But God speaks to you through the church and through the Council of Saints. And the third one is common sense. That, you know, just apply your brain. God will speak to you through common sense. You don't need to hear from God as to what to wear in the morning or what colour socks to put on. Use some common sense and make that decision. So we'll come to the last two CSs as we look at listening to the heart and listening to the will. But let's look at the story of Samuel to learn a bit more about listening to the head. What can we learn from that story? He gets called three times. The first two times he runs into Eli and says, you were calling me. And Eli just says, no, I wasn't, and sends him back. And I think there's some things about Samuel's situation in terms of listening to the head that you really can learn from. The first is he was sleeping. He was lying down. And I must say, the older I get, possibly the more time I spend lying down, but the more I hear God in those really quiet times where I'm maybe just going to bed or just waking up, so long as I make a decision at that point to think, you know what, I'm going to think, what God are you doing at the moment? And it slows me down enough to be able to hear God. So Samuel's doing that. Chances are he was about 12 or 13. So the other thing we can learn from that is he was young and he'd chosen to go and commit himself to kind of standing alongside and serving Eli the prophet at that time. And to live right next to Eli in the tabernacle so that he could hear him talking. So he'd given himself to the service of the church, put himself somewhere where he'll hear God. And being called out to in the night by Eli clearly wasn't unusual. So he gets up twice, goes and sees him, says, no, I didn't call out to you. So that would not have been unusual. He was serving in that way, and he was up for listening to whatever Eli was going to say, a much older person. And Eli was up for investing in Samuel. So another way to hear is to have that kind of mentor relationship. but the most obvious thing about Samuel is he got it wrong. He got it wrong, didn't he? The first couple of times he didn't know, and then eventually he worked out, yes, that was God. So you will get it wrong. But that's the way to learn. Don't be afraid of making mistakes in listening to God. But the final thing I'd say about, you know, listening to the head is that God speaks through those in public who have first spoken to God or heard from God in private. And that's the thing about Samuel. And we want to be effective evangelists, effective sharers of the gospel, people who love our community. To know how to do that, there is a real correlation, I think, between listening in private and then being able to share that in public. So God speaks in public through those who first listen to him and speak back to God in private. And that's what we see in Samuel. So that's listening to the head, listening to the heart. The next. So this is when you're in a conversation, listening to feelings and emotion, values, things that are comfortable, things that stir you in what's being said. And I think it's very much true in, you know, those types of five profiles of the bad listener, that people don't want to be fixed often when they're talking about something, when they're sharing a difficulty. You know, they don't want answers. You know, they really want to be heard. In fact, you know, people often want to be heard and held before they want to be helped, if they want to be helped at all. They want to be heard and held. So they want the emotion, really, of what's going on to be acknowledged, you know, often more than they really need an answer given. So The thing is, though, there's a lot of distractions around for us today as to our ability to do that. And in fact, you know, I'm basing this through Matthew 12, 34, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So actually, what we allow ourselves to be full of, you know, whether it's, you know, listening to the radio, reading the news, whatever you watch on TV, often all good things, you know, drinks and so on, what we allow, those are things that will fill our heart, and then what comes out of our mouth reflects what we've filled our heart with. So now, you know, when you're listening in terms of how you might apply that in your relationship with God, or you might hear from God in terms of hearing God's heart as opposed to hearing God's words and being stirred by those, how can you hear the emotion? Well, you know, I'm not going to major on, but clearly the fact that God loves you is something we spend our life trying to make sure we understand and unpack and let it affect us. But I want to talk about one slightly different area that I think still is in that understanding God's, listening to God's heart for you, just around the area of comfort. It changed me a lot when I was going through a difficult time a little while ago. There's a passage at the beginning of 2 Corinthians 1, that talks about the God of all comfort. And that in difficult times, God wants to comfort you. And he wants to be the God of all comfort. In fact, the passage says, you know, our comfort abounds through Christ. And often we look for comfort in other areas when times are difficult. So, you know, some of the things that are in that, you might look for them in a glass of wine, a beer, some chocolates, you know, listening to music you enjoy. A lot of other noise can crowd out being able to hear God's heart for you and being able and letting him be the God of all comfort for you. In terms of the five CSs here, I mean, clearly God's Spirit also speaks to your head and will bring the Word of God alive. But I'd say particularly commanding, compelling Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will speak to you by confirming what's going on, and it will open up God's feeling and emotions towards you. So we need to be, as well as head knowledge, we want to be people who are moved by God's Word and moved by how much he loves us and allow him to comfort us. So that was the second area. The third area is listening to the feet. Now, I'm sure we've all sat in meetings at church where there's been an idea that's come up, not necessarily at church, it may be at work, and somebody will say, I tell you what, we should have a community day. And everybody goes, that is a great idea. What a great idea. And so we start thinking, oh, well, we'll put that in the church calendar. We're going to have a community day. And then the day rolls round and we say, so who wants to, you know, do various things related to the community day? And there may be not too many volunteers at that point. And there is a, when we're listening to people, sometimes we need to listen to, yep, they like the idea. They may even express love and emotion for the idea, but we listen to the feet and say, where's the intention, where's the energy, where's the will, where's the motion to make this happen? And actually, if when you're listening to the feet, do you really see that? Do you see the energy and commitment to make something happen from that? And we need to listen to that as well. So how might this affect us listening to God and hearing from God? Well, the story of Jonah, I'm quickly going to read it. Just the first three verses of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So Jonah hears from God and go to Nineveh, and actually he goes somewhere completely different. Well, the listening in that sense, yes, he heard, but did he really hear? Because actually he went somewhere completely different. And apparently the Latin word for listen, I gave up Latin as soon as I could. But the Latin word for listen, because I read it in a book somewhere, is actually quite similar to the word obey. So there's an element of listening that also means obeying and doing. And it's like that, we often say to our kids, you know, listen up. And there's an element of listen up that is, please do what I'm about to say. And many of you will be familiar with the conversation that is, put that phone down. And then you go, can you put that phone down? Yep, I heard you. Well, I don't think you did hear me, because you're still holding that phone. That's a conversation that happens quite a lot in our house. Have they heard? Well, they've not put the phone down, so I'm not sure they have heard. So we've got to listen to the feet and see what action. And in Jonah's case, what action did follow? Well, he was scared of Nineveh, a powerful city, you know, much like London now, actually. That was a place full of ideas, shaping the culture of the time, full of powerful people. He feared it and he went the other way. But if you know the story well, eventually he comes back and he does go to Nineveh and he does preach. So the word of God, as he's been asked to do. So eventually, actually, he is obedient. So how the final CS, the fifth CS, that is circumstances. Okay, now, in Jonah's case, it's not clear from the passage, but I am going to willing to bet, okay, that when God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh, and then he heads down to the port, I am betting there was a whacking great ship there heading for Nineveh and a teeny one way off to the right heading for Tarshish. And he, everywhere he was going, people are going, hey, you off to Nineveh? And he's going, nope, as he heads off. Because God will speak through not always. Sometimes you've got to fight against circumstances to do what God wants. Okay, so if you're walking, you know, as we were walking through the red light districts of an area, I don't think that's God saying to me, walk in the door, you know, in a red light district. So sometimes you fight against circumstances, but often the fifth way God will move you and show what your feet should do and what action you should do is circumstances and opening the door. So those are three ways to listen to people, three ways to listen to: listen to the head, listen to the heart, and listen to the feet. And then five CSs in terms of how you apply that with God. And if you've got a big decision you're making at the moment, I would run through those five CSs and say, how do they line up against Scripture, against what the Holy Spirit's doing, against circumstances, against common sense, and against whatever the other one was. So I'm going to ask now for you just to think about how might you respond to this. And I was struck by a passage in Isaiah, where Isaiah 50, verse 5, and we're doing a series on Isaiah later this year. Isaiah 50, verse 5, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. And there is an element of listening that there's almost a level where you can move on from just listening to asking the sovereign Lord to open your ears so that you would apply your will and obey. And I had a bit of a picture of church really being a bit like, if this works, a bit like a pre-match team talk. I've given some appalling team talks in my life. I've recently had the not privilege of watching my 18-year-old self giving a team talk, which was excruciating, and I've destroyed every single version of that could be out there. But, you know, church is a bit like a pre-match team talk. We are here, you know, on Sunday mornings especially, to prepare you for the world, to prepare you for the match, okay? But imagine, and so we are, come on, let's get out there, let's win, you know, let's be well prepared. If you're on the right wing, get up and down. You know, you're tremendously talented at that, do your best. We've picked you in your prime position, and we think you're the person for this occasion. It's a team talk. Thing is, if there is no match, If there is no match, then the pre-match team talk's pretty dull and pretty irrelevant. If we're here and we're doing our team talk, but then actually we're not going out and having a game afterwards, not participating in a match, then it's pretty dull. So actually this is to prepare you for where we're going. So this is to prepare us to be in the world. So as you think about responding, I had three particular categories in preparing this that I thought people who might want to respond. One is people who just want to get better at listening to other people. But actually, as you look at those elements of the poor listener, you thought, you know, actually, I would just like to be a better listener because I think it will improve my relationships. And I should say, you know, if you can listen to the head, and especially if you can listen to the heart, you'll end up with more intimate relationships. That was a point I forgot to make, actually, during the thing about listening to the heart. We want intimacy in relationships. And if you can't express feelings or recognize feelings in your relationship with other people or in your relationship with the Lord, you'll feel like you're missing a bit in relationships. We want deep, intimate relationships. So to do that, we've got to be able to express feelings and connect with people's hearts. So that first group is get better at listening to other people, and it will deepen your relationships. The second group, getting better at listening to God. That, like that passage in Isaiah, you want God to open your ears. When was the last time you heard God speak? I think sometimes our prayer lives can be a little bit like going to the doctor and saying, you know, my knee hurts, I've got backache, I've got a very bad ulcer here, my eyesight is unquestionably going. These are all things that are relatively accurate for me. And I'm losing my hair. Lost my hair. And then just walking straight out the door. You wouldn't do that if you go to the doctor, would you? You'd wait to see what's the doctor going to say. We want to get better at listening to God. And it might be in our listening to God that you listen to the wrong stuff sometimes, and that's affecting your heart. Or it might be that you're bored with church, and that's because you're not in the match. And if you're not in the match, then church isn't terribly relevant. And then the third group of people are people who I think God has spoken to your head and your heart many times. You know, and particularly now. You know, that Jesus has spoken and revealed himself to you and said, you know, I know you, I love you, I died for you. Don't worry about what you've done. Jesus on the cross has done enough for you. Humble yourself and then apply the third thing. Use your feet, come up and respond and give your life to me. So as the band come back up, I'd invite you to respond, either come down to the front for prayer, talk to somebody else you know here, find somebody you know who's involved here, and respond. Do business with the Lord.